This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today we're waiting for Dr. Hooker to actually call in, but I'd like to get the show started by giving some background and some insight into why I wanted to do this show today. Ultimately, we're really under the gun with all these diseases coming through the country. Yesterday, the administration made a statement about going to West Africa in order to try to fight Ebola there. And one of the tenets of this fight that was mentioned was the creation of vaccines for Ebola. Now, whether you're against vaccines or for vaccines, I think having knowledge is probably one of the most important things that people can have to make informed decisions. I don't subscribe to fear-mongering and when you're told the truth, somehow sticking your head in the sand and demonizing the person trying to tell you the truth. That's a cop-out. That's what the society thrives on. It's willful ignorance in so many instances in our society. But ignorance will get you killed. And that goes with anything, with education, with the healthcare system, with voting for someone in your district in terms of politics. I think that we're driven by this need to have somebody take care of us. And this need is being filled by the government, and they want it that way. This is not news, and it's not new, but I think we're living in a different society in terms of our health. I can't tell you how much the healthcare system has changed over the past 10 years, but really accelerated change in the last 5 or 6 years since this Affordable Care Act was passed. Now we're in a situation where we're living under the yoke of a medical industrial complex where decisions are going to be made, whether we like it or not, based on the good of the many. That's the theory that's going to be espoused when people start to get their rights taken away and they start to have their choices chosen for them. Vaccines is one of the most controversial things in our society right now. And if you look at the history of vaccines and the vaccination campaign, it's changed since 1986 when the government passed a bill which was designed to basically shield vaccine manufacturers from any liability for any bad outcome from their vaccines. It also gave them the right to shield bad information, so they're allowed to not give the public information about negative outcomes from taking the vaccine. And this is a recipe for a perfect storm for corruption, for lying for fraud, for lying, and for mandating that people take something that may not be healthy for them to take in all instances. That's a problem. And if you really stop thinking with your reptilian brain, but start thinking about it from a standard of, is this safe, and should I really think about something before I let someone put a medication or put a vaccine into me, then you really start to not live in so much fear. I mean, ultimately, you should have the right to put whatever you want into your body as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. That's freedom. That's not a problem. But we're getting those freedoms taken away. I've heard of instances and actually know people who've decided that they didn't want their child to have a vaccine and they were fired from the pediatric medical practice. There's other instances where the government has stepped in and taken the child from their parent and put them in a foster care system because the parent is assumed to be some sort of negligent parent or committing child abuse. And this is based on research. And this is what Dr. Hooker is supposed to come on the show to talk about. The MMR vaccine is one of the most, it's one of the foundation vaccines that children get as they, as part of the protocol of vaccine schedule. And it's 55 vaccines at this point that are currently available. And they start as young as birth. The hepatitis B vaccine is now given at birth. Your immune system is not even set at birth. I can't imagine how this is even helpful to the child since they don't really have an immune system that can mount a response to a vaccine in order to protect them. You add in the fact that most people are not susceptible to hepatitis B. There are certain populations within the country who are at high risk: surgeons, healthcare workers, HIV drug users, and people, some in the homosexual population. That does not apply to every American in this country. Yet it's now, because it's available, now it becomes part of your mandated vaccine schedule. We talked about, I mean, there's been a lot of back and forth and demonization about the MMR vaccine in particular. And parents have said, and there's been anecdotal information, there's been medical information that stated that children who had the MMR vaccine have had a higher incidence of bad outcomes, of seizures, of fevers, high fever, of having change in their personality after receiving this vaccine. And the study that this is based on, people who I've just recently, the CNN came on and demonized Dr. Hooker's work regarding the MMR vaccine and whether or not it caused autism, especially among boys and especially among African-American boys. And this, the CNN reporter completely ignored his work, which was based on CDC raw information or raw data, for one thing, and basically proceeded to demonize him and use the same hackneyed false assumption or statement that there is no way, it's an absolute here, there is no link, absolutely none, 0% chance of getting autism after taking vaccines, MMR vaccines included. I think everybody should be critical when people have an absolute statement. It doesn't apply to, it cannot possibly apply to everybody. This is medicine. One size never fits all in medicine. And if there's one instance where someone took a vaccine, died from it, had some sort of bad outcome, then you can't say with certainty and with authority that it never happens. That's what we're living in. We're living in complete denial. If I say it's true, then it must be. Doesn't matter if that you're sitting right, you know, you're living through a system where something happened and you can see it for yourself. But if some sort of official says, nothing to move, nothing to see here, move along, you're supposed to just say, well, I guess I didn't see that. I mean, this is complete magical thinking. So what Dr. Hooker did was he had recurrent interviews with Dr. Thompson, who was a member of the CDC, who was an original author of the landmark study that basically said that there is no link between MMR vaccine and childhood autism, or I should say autism, period, in children. And what he said was that he was involved with jerry-rigging the information. So they basically removed children from this study, specifically African-American children, because the study found in their conclusions that there was an over 300% higher rate of autism in African-American boys, twice that of white children, and moreover, that there was a higher risk of autism in males compared to females. I mean, this is amazing statistic. This is taking away a parent's choice to choose safely for their child. Period. End of story. Someone decides for you as a parent, you don't need to know all the facts. You don't need to have the right to critically think and decide whether or not you want something to be given to your child. That's unconscionable. That's unethical. It's immoral. And as a physician, I think every pediatrician, every family practice doctor, anybody who's in the position to give a vaccine to a child, specifically a boy, specifically an African-American boy, needs to take a step back and look at this. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, I have a healthy skepticism. I think that's totally reasonable. That's what science is about. It's about having a question and being able to prove it without tainted evidence. If it works out in your favor, so be it. But it's still a reasonable article, and it's still valid to say our hypothesis was wrong. The conclusion that we wanted to draw never happened. That's what science is supposed to be about. It's not about, you want to make a question and then jerry-rig your data in order to get your question answered in a way that's positive for your hypothesis. That's not science, and that happens a lot. And that's another, we'll talk about that after the break, but the way the system is set up, the money flow into the research community is not coming from non-biased sources. It's coming from the vaccine manufacturers, from the pharmaceutical industry, and by people who stand to gain from the result. By definition, that is a conflict of interest. And anybody who really, and they don't tell you this, they never say these things, but if you look at these articles and if you go online and Google them and look at the actual reprint, you can see who supported, who underwrote the article. And if you do that, then you're really going to have an eye-wide-open moment where you can figure out if it's supported by a drug manufacturer for the drug that they're studying and there's a positive outcome. Anybody in their right mind should ask themselves, what was the method? How did they pick these patients? Did they really, you know, put together all the data and look at it critically, or did they try to make it seem as if, or come up with a finding that was positive for their particular drug? This is about money. It's about cronyism. It's about, you know, it's fascist because it's corporate-driven decisions that affect every single member of the society. And for those who don't think it affects them, it does. We've gone from 1 in 150 children in the 80s to 1 in 68 children today, as of March this year, that are affected with autism. Well, autism affects you throughout your entire life. So you now have children who either need constant care, who are taking away resources because the parents need to be there, or maybe one parent can't work because they have to take care of the child, or they end up in the healthcare system, and it'll drain your finances faster than you can say boo. So I wonder how many of those children actually have to go on government assistance or receive government healthcare or Medicaid, Medicare, etc., because the cost is so astronomical that there's no way any parent could really fully take care of their child for the length of time that they have to. Then you add in the cost to society, because these children, if they're really severely affected, can never be productive members of society. Will they be able to hold a job? Will they be able to go to school? Will they be able to actually function? Or will they end up in our legal system and in our jail system and actually end up preying on the rest of society because they can't control their behavior or their urges or whatever? So this is affecting everybody. And if we don't fix this, something is absolutely wrong. If you can go from 1 in 150 to 1 in 68 with boys, 2 to 1 affected to girls, something's wrong with the system. And I don't care who says that nothing's wrong, then they're lying to themselves and trying to perpetuate a system that's broken. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. While we're waiting for Dr. Hooker to call in, I just wanted to give you an information from the CDC about the MMR, the complications of MMR from the CDC itself. And the severe complications include seizure, temporary pain and stiffness in the joints, low platelet count, bleeding disorder, serious allergic reaction, long-term seizures, coma, or lowered consciousness, and, quote, permanent brain damage. So the fact that the vaccine industry is shielded from any child or adult being injured in this way by the vaccine, really, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that they've somehow gotten congressional approval to allow them to do whatever they like, come up with vaccines, and they're coming up with them 24/7. There's supposedly one coming up for smoking cessation. There's one to help with basically mood. So if you have issues with anger management and some sort of mental health issue, you can take this vaccine and then you just mellow out completely, which is basically a chemical lobotomy if you really want to think about it. If it's going to go in and destroy centers in the brain, and that's what this vaccine is supposed to be able to do, go in and destroy centers of the brain by, I guess, a chemical reaction or cut the receptors, somehow short it out so that you can no longer really feel, you know, intense emotions. So no longer feeling angry, but you can no longer feel happy either. That's a lobotomy. And that's going to come on the market. So what happens? I mean, just think about this, how the government works for a second, how the medical system works. Every time something comes on the market, it becomes, in some instances, some sort of mandate. Certainly vaccines are mandated. And it's not legal. Let's get that on the table. The prevailing thought is that if you have a child that's going to school, they have to, by law, have vaccines, or they can't be, admitted into school that year. Well, that's not really true. There are exemptions. And as a parent, if you have a contraindication, whether that be religious, whether that be the child has had an immune reaction or some sort of allergic reaction to the vaccine, all you have to do is write a letter, actually ask the school for the waiver, fill it out, and you're done. They have to abide by that. But they don't tell you because they don't want you to have all the information. That's the whole purpose of the show today. You should have all the information so that you can make informed decisions. That's what we do every day in medicine. If we do a procedure on somebody, we give them informed consent. I don't just throw someone on the OR table and say, I know what's best, you need to get this done, and I'm just going to do it. That's unethical. I have to tell the patient every bad outcome that's ever happened in the history of a procedure, going back to the time that it was created, whether it's 100% possibility or a 0.001% possibility, so that the patient can make an informed decision about their body, about their quality of life, about their future. Nobody made me God. I can't do that. So we have now the government deciding on shoddy scientific information, and anybody who's raising a question is demonized as a bad parent, they need to have their children taken away. If you're a doctor, if you ask Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who initially did the study on the MMR and came up with the conclusion that I should preface, he's not against vaccines, and this is not a show about being against vaccines, it's about being safe. His conclusion was that children who get the MMR before the age of 3 are more likely, there's increased risk of having a bad outcome, and therefore more studies should occur. And maybe we should think about changing the schedule of the vaccine so you give it at a later age instead of, you know, 12 to 15 months. Let's make it later. That's not saying you're against vaccines. That's about safety. But that never comes to the forefront. All the people talk about is how he got his license revoked, how his study in the Lancet was pulled, how what an awful person he is because he raised, you know, doubts about parents whether they should get their child immunized. That's not the point. The point is there's a serious question about whether this is safe, and if we just delayed it, maybe we wouldn't have so many children that are affected. Maybe the autism rate wouldn't have jumped from 1 in 150 to 1 in 68 over the past several years. Maybe we could save society and parents the trauma of having their child affected, or having a society where you have people who can't participate. These are all pretty neat in my opinion, but there's been an onslaught against him, and any doctor who actually raises a question, somehow they need to be run out on a rail. And that's what patients and the society needs to just be aware of. There are other sides to these arguments. There's a other flip side to this coin. And the fact that the CDC itself, that the researchers changed the information, I mean, there's four of them, I think four or five of them on the study, who created the study. And by conference, they decided to remove certain kids. And it wasn't for a good reason. It was because they didn't have a birth certificate. That's what they claimed. These African-American children didn't have a birth certificate, so we couldn't prove they were African-American or whatever it was. Something really ridiculous, because you can get the information in school. Demographically, it's there. So if you really wanted to find out more about the demographics of these children, you could have done it. You didn't have to remove them from the study. And magically, you remove just enough to make it not statistically significant. And this Dr. Thompson admitted that's what happened. And so the conclusions of the study are false. Instead of saying that there is no link to autism and the MMR vaccine, there is absolutely a link, and that is 300%+ increase in autism among African-American boys, and a 2-to-1 increase in autism in boys to girls. Now, if the CDC had printed that and actually printed the study, it didn't have to mean that they had to stop MMR vaccinations. All it would have meant was, hey, we need to do another study. We need to look at this. Until that happens, why don't we just separate the MMR shot so you don't get the mumps, measles, rubella shot all in one shot? Maybe we should just separate them. Make it later. Didn't have to mean that you just don't do it. So you have to think about who stands to gain from this. What's shocking about this is that Dr. Thompson brought this, he finally got a conscience after 10 years. This has been going on since 2002. 2002. So he finally got a conscience, wrote a letter to Julie Gebberding, who was the head of the CDC at the time, and he was shot down. Nothing ever came of it. That's why he started talking to Dr. Hooker, because he needed to get this information out. And it also turns out, you know, maybe it's serendipity, I don't know, but when Dr. Gebberding left the CDC, she took a job with Merck, who is the manufacturer of the MMR vaccine. Coincidence? Maybe. What do you think? But I think it stinks. There's this revolving door between the agencies that are designed to protect us, like the CDC, the FDA, and the pharmaceutical industry. And it's not right. There's just too close a tie. And if you have a situation where you stand to gain money from decisions that are made by government and government mandates, yet whatever happens in the instance, you can't be sued, then you're going to go nuts making vaccines, and that's what's going on. I know that they're going to try to make an Ebola vaccine. That's what millions of dollars are now being asked to be spent on. There's going to be an HIV vaccine. I think they've been working on that. I think it actually killed people, so it's still in the process. But knowing this, knowing that one instance of fraud was already committed, I personally have a question mark as to whether I would ever trust them to put out a vaccine and line up to take it. I just don't think I would do it. And until and unless something happens with these people, and they didn't get fired, by the way, none of them. I think they're still working for the government or CDC, and they've been promoted. They've gotten awards from the Secretary of Health and Human Services when this study came out. Dr. Boyle, one of the researchers, has come before Congress and lied. I mean, saying multiple times that there is no connection between the vaccine and autism, between the MMR vaccine and autism. Boldface. Yet, and they're still actually not backtracking on this. So they're still saying that that they're denying that the study is flawed, that it's pretty obvious that there's fraud, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Possible just, they were just wrong, all right? They threw out these numbers by mistake. Let's give them the benefit of doubt on that. But if there's any question, I think you should retract the study, redo it, so that we can stop injuring children. I don't know. I think the jury is out on how many people are involved with this. But I've said it in the show before, if you have, you know, news media and their sponsors are drug companies, I don't know, everybody who's looking at news, how many drug commercials are on in the meantime? I mean, almost every commercial is some sort of drug commercial. That is a cozy tie between the news and how it's presented and who pays for, who underwrites it. It's too close. And it's just human nature. I think anybody should have a healthy skepticism. Doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong, but you shouldn't even have the appearance of maybe. You shouldn't even have to ask that question. You should turn on your TV and know that your news media is unbiased, doesn't have a dog in the hunt, is not being coerced in possibly, in some instances, not to tell the truth. I mean, just looking at the CNN report recently online where Dr. Hooker's study was completely negated and they talked about something completely different as if it didn't exist. Honestly, it was shocking because that was a perfect example of ignoring facts or not even raising the question and just telling people, nothing to see here, move along, just get your kid shot up, everything's fine. That's not how this should work. I just don't think it should. And ultimately, it's up to us to stop depending on the powers that be to protect us. They're not. I can't think of any instance right now where I feel that the government has my back as a citizen in this country, as a doctor in this country, as a human being, quite frankly. You know, they're making decisions that make no sense, health decisions. If you're going to send troops into the West Africa for protecting the citizens there against Ebola, I heard a lot about military, but what about the humanitarian side of it? I understand they're going to build hospitals and all that sort of thing, but they're only protecting Liberia. This is a situation that's going to protect one country potentially, but it's already in Guinea, in Sierra Leone, in Nigeria. How does that protect them? How does that stop the spread? No one's talking about quarantining folks who get on airplanes and potentially, unbeknownst to anybody, including themselves, could be vectors for traveling outside off the African continent to everywhere in all parts of the world. What happened with that? It's a very one-sided, almost just a photo op. And money, of course, there's money that's going to be spent. But is it well spent? And will it really do what it says it's going to do? And is it capable of doing what it says it's going to do? I just think it's time to really question everything. Because it's all about your health. And once you lose that, then you don't have anything. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Are you tired of taking medication to control your allergy symptoms? Do you suffer from uncontrollable asthma or eczema? Sublingual immunotherapy is a safe and effective alternative. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is committed to bringing the newest medical advances to their patients. With sublingual immunotherapy, you can now train your immune system to stop responding to environmental and food allergies. No more shots, no more trips to the doctor, and freedom from taking daily allergy medication. The drops are simply placed under the tongue 3 times a day. Both children and adults can be treated. It is safe and cost-effective. Call Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center today at 404-591-9100 for more information or to make an appointment. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Mention that you heard about sublingual immunotherapy on Radio Sandy Springs and get free allergy testing.
Listen to America's Voice for Energy. I'm Marita Noon, and each week I'll guide our discussion on a fresh, news-based energy topic. only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that an inability to lose weight can be due to an underactive thyroid gland? The thyroid gland is an important organ that controls the metabolism. Signs of an underactive thyroid gland include depression, hair loss, weight gain, a low blood pressure, feeling cold, constipation, and a lower libido. Risks for low thyroid function include iron deficiency, liver dysfunction, family history of thyroid disease, and an irregularity in the immune system. If you have noticed any of these symptoms, or you have noticed swelling in the front of your neck, or the color of your shirt feels tight, you should see your doctor for further evaluation, including blood tests, to evaluate the levels of thyroid hormone in your bloodstream. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I've just informed by Dr. Hooker that he's not going to be able to make it this morning, but I'm going to try to reschedule him for a later show, perhaps the 24th. So I think it's such an important show that it's something that we will be discussing, and I want somebody who's on the front line to discuss this. So I apologize to listeners, but yeah, we move it along here. You know, as I said in the break, or before the break, this is a system now that's become more concrete, more rigid in terms of choice. The Affordable Care Act is now bearing fruit that I said was going to happen. You know, we're talking about things that are centralized decisions. This is no longer the doctor deciding in their office with their patient what the medical program, what the medicines and the choices that are going to be given. This is now evidence-based medicine that's centrally driven. And for those who don't know, again, what evidence-based medicine is, it is corporate-driven medicine, okay? This is medical decisions, medications, algorithms, how you treat a particular disease, how long it should take to get better, what medicines and what parameters are allowed to be medically given in order to follow good practices. But what people don't tell you is that these good practices are based on these same research journals, these same medical studies, these research articles that are underwritten by the pharmaceutical company. Years ago, I said this, and I'm going to repeat it because people may not remember. But the major diseases, blood pressure, cholesterol, that are driven by blood pressure, cholesterol, for example, are based on research articles that stated what new normal was. Back in when I was in medical school, which again, it's not that long ago, a normal cholesterol was anything below 250. Now they're saying it should be about 180. This is not based on doctors saying it. It's based on clinical trials driven by the pharmaceutical company. And every time they come up with a new iteration of their study, it changes practice. So 10 years ago, if you had a cholesterol of 250, that was awesome. You were, you know, patted on the back and sent home. Now they're trying to drug you with Crestor, Lipitor, some sort of medication because you fall outside of the norm. Blood pressure is the same thing. In time immemorial, normal blood pressure was 120 over 80. That's changed to 110 over 70. So now if you are 120 over 80, you have pre-hypertension, and you should be presumptively treated for it. That's now standard of care. So what was healthy is now need to be drugged because you're unhealthy because you're either a pre-stage of a disease, but it's arbitrary. The BMI used to be for obesity, I think it was over like 35 or something. Now it's 30. So what's a normal weight for most, you know, used to be a normal weight, now you're obese. Now you're going to end up on medications, or maybe you're going to pay more for your health insurance because you are now tagged as having a disease state or a pre-disease state that eventually will cost the system money, and so they're going to treat you. And if you decide that you don't want to do it, what happens then? That's the next step of this. You put the grid in place. You're going to have to use the grid. And anybody who has a mind of their own, doctor or patient, who says, I'm not going to do that. Maybe I want to try exercise and natural means to lose weight. Well, of course, it's not evidence-based because it's not a prescription-driven. So are they going to allow you? I know for one thing your health savings account won't pay for anything that's not prescription-driven and brand name on top of it. So if you want to take some supplement over the counter to help you lose weight, you're on your own. Even though you've paid into your health care savings account, you don't get to decide how it's spent. There's something inherently wrong with that. They're taking your money, your choices away. And it's being driven by people who have a vested interest in you being sick. This is why the healthcare system is a problem at this moment. Because it's driven by disease. Because it's driven by money. Because it's driven by somebody deciding that you fall outside the norm. So we're going to make the outside the norm smaller so that more people fall outside the norm, and therefore it drives the system to work. Healthcare system technically only works when people are sick, doesn't it? So it makes sense that they would want more people sick so that they can make more money. I mean, I'm a doctor telling you this, but it's critical thinking. My method is to keep my patients healthy so I see people who need my help, as opposed to me creating a disease-driven, you know, office where I do the same thing every day, put someone on a drug, put them on another one for the side effect of the one I have them on, just so that I can keep appointments going. That's ridiculous. And I think we need to pull back from that system, and patients are just as guilty as doctors because they don't want to work for things, because they don't want to put skin in the game, because they want to take a pill and make it easy and have their cake and eat it too, literally. It doesn't work that way. You know, you can't just do you and then expect that at the end point be pulled back with a pill or a procedure. I think now we all need to be aware that you don't want to get sick in this system. The system does not work for the sick, the elderly. It's designed to get rid of you. That's a horrible thing to say. But the people who are driving the system, and they're saying this to you, maybe you're not paying attention, but they're saying that you, if you're sick, you did it to yourself, you cost too much money, and therefore you shouldn't get services given to you. They'd rather spend it on giving, you know, I guess on making drugs so that you can stay propped up while you're able-bodied and able to be employed so you can pay into the system. If you're too young or too old, then you need to be out of the system because it's not enough resources to go around. It's always the same story. Not enough resources, too many people. Therefore, some central point has to decide who lives, who dies, who gets to access the system, who doesn't. And it's all about, quote, fairness. Every time you see the word fairness or hear it, you should run the opposite way. I don't care what it is, because it's not fair. It's about friends of. It's about how do we make the system work so that people can pay more into it and drain the system or drain the pockets of the people. And bottom line is, it's about control. That's what this is about. It's about control. Control of your healthcare choices, control of your pocketbook, control of your mouth. Because anybody who speaks up now, it may be, either they're sexist, racist, xenophobic, you know, anti-religion, anti-something, as opposed to, I have a mouth, I'm allowed to speak my mind as long as I don't physically hurt somebody. Words certainly don't. Physical does. But we need to be in a system now or fight the system so that we can actually still have our autonomy. Once we give that up in the name of political correctness, in the name of I just don't want to be part of the problem, I don't want someone to come after me, I just want to get along with everybody. As soon as you do that, then you're complicit because you drive the system. Maybe not intentionally, but overall, you're driving the system. And that system is going to crush you at some point. I don't say this idly. And for the 3 or 4 years, I guess longer, this show has been on, I think that we've provided a case for, and I think a fair case about if you let the system run on its own, you don't stand to gain. No matter how much they tell you that you should like it, it's never in your instance. I don't care what it is. If it's safety, travel safety through those scanners, which nobody ever looked at, which, of course, someone made a ton of money on as they got deployed. But the safety issue has never been looked at. There's, example, clusters of cancer clusters amongst the TSA workers who run those, who man those machines, who are standing next to them. Nobody ever said anything about that. No one ever raised a stink about that. What happened to the unions? They won't allow them to wear dosimeters, for example. That means that they can't tell if they're being radiated and how much they're being radiated, and what they should be moved to another part of the airport because their risk is higher. Nobody said anything about that. And studies have already shown there's already at least a 1% increase risk of cancer among travelers who go through those machines. Well, millions of people travel through the machines daily. If 1% of those people get cancer because they went through those machines, that's too much of a risk when they don't even stop what they're supposed to stop. If you have a powder, it doesn't pick it up. If you have a plastic weapon, it doesn't pick it up. It's not 100%. You know, so these are the things that you really have to start thinking about. We have, and I'll say it again till I'm blue in the face, because I think people really need to wake up and pay attention to this. We have more power than we think we do. We have power in opting out, in withdrawing our consent, with no longer being a part of a system or paying into a system or condoning a system that is wrong, that is running on, I think, a very vicious will at this point, that it just wants to gain more power so they can always be in power, never give it up, never cede it, and make sure that we have no, as far as they're concerned, take away our recourse in order to stop what's going on. That's how I see it. I don't think I'm alone. But if you know that the government is now, there's myriad examples here. There is a law that's not yet passed that's designed to stop any state from being able to label GMOs, you know, like a labeling act. So they're not allowed to actually even bring up any votes in the states to make it illegal for or promote fairness in labeling. So the person who or the company that has a GMO has to list their ingredients and has to admit on their ingredient list that these are genetically modified foods. There's a congressman who has a gag law on the table that would make it illegal for anybody, any state, to actually have a referendum on that. I wonder who he's paid by. I wonder what he's getting from this. These are questions that you guys need to ask. And talk to your local political structure and find out if they're working in your favor or against you. Another interesting thing that I thought, I don't know if people paid attention to this, but with this legalized pot situation in Berkeley, they want to mandate by law that these dispensaries give free pot to indigent people. Now, that sounds awesome on the, you know, for the person getting the pot. But if you really want to think about this as a control issue, what better way to pacify somebody who potentially should be unhappy with the situation except by giving them free drugs? I mean, there's I'm talking about not medicinal now, but recreational pot use. What kind of thing is that? So, I mean, I guess they, instead of having uprisings, they're trying to make the system, to fix the system so that you make people tune in, tune out, tune off, just go about, just opt out of the system and let them run it. This is what this is designed to do. I can't believe that got passed. It's amazing. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure, in some cases, are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards. And remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I guess we're having a pretty free-ranging show today because my guest has had to postpone and schedule for hopefully next week. I think it's still a good show because I think we are delving into things that we're tying together loose ends, which once they tie together, then you start to really think. And it's all about making you think. That's the key to this. I think people need to, and I myself have changed my mindset about this. If we start actually partaking in the system, you know, where we make conscious choices about everything that we do, everything that we say, and that we can we stand behind, instead of having somebody try to shout you down, when you know something's right, when you know you're not a racist, if you know that you're not what they try to superimpose on you, the key is not to cower. That gives them the power. What you have to do is speak up for yourself. I mean, I want to get a t-shirt. I don't care what you think. That's my t-shirt, because that's the power, taking your power back from people who want you to be silent so they can just do them and do what they want to do. But it affects everybody. You know, I'm really a live and let live type of person. But when people decide, some central source decides what you can eat, what you can, how you educate your children, what's safe to put in or not put in your body, then I have a problem with that. Because ultimately it affects, again, everybody. If it affected just them, I wouldn't complain, but it affects everybody. These choices about what your child is able to learn in school, you know, what they're able to put on their bodies to go to school. I mean, people can't wear shirts that have any statement on them anymore, especially if it comes down to God. They can't do that. That's offensive. They can't put an American flag on. Firefighters were told not to come, or I think they were fired, actually, because they wanted to put a flag, American flag, on their uniform, on their helmet, on their lockers, when they actually have it on their uniform. But that was felt to be insensitive to the people who aren't American citizens working in that department. That's outrageous. I mean, this has come to the point that it's stupid. It's some child being suspended because she said, God bless you, to a classmate. Really? So any parent who, of course, they don't want you to know anything that this is going on in school. It's like a black hole. Maybe that's why they don't want kids to go home with homework anymore, because the parents would actually look at what's going on and then start to get involved. It's like you send your child into this cave, and God knows what happens when they're in there. And they're children, that they're malleable. They change. And they're now producing children who are more likely to snitch on their parents because they keep their water running too long, they use too much hot water, than be active members of society. See something, say something is something that is really being used against parents, against society. This is indoctrination, if you really think about it. And medically, these kids are being taught, the young people in our society are being taught that it's okay to kill grandma because she's taking away something from me, and it's my time now. But they don't think far enough to know that they're going to be grandma down the road, and the plug is going to be pulled on them. It's a very selfish, ghoulish, it's just ruthless society. It's all about self, selfies, and all this other nonsense. And I'm sorry, I digress again, but I've heard yesterday that the doctor who took care of Joan Rivers took a selfie while she was under anesthesia. I don't know if it was before or after that they did the 007 move. I'm not sure. And I'm an ENT, okay? So I'm going to say this. And I didn't say anything about that whole situation because I didn't know. But it didn't smell right from the beginning. And I'm so sorry, I'm totally digressing, but I just have to get this out there. If you're doing any kind of vocal cord procedure, as an ear, nose, and throat doctor, we're taught, this is Bible to us, you never touch the vocal cords when someone awake or under anesthesia without protecting their airway, because touching the vocal cords can initiate a spasm called laryngospasm. If that happens, the vocal cords shut, they don't open, and you basically cause the person to asphyxiate. That's rule number one when you're in ENT. Number two, from a medical standpoint, you never do a procedure without a consent. We talked about this, informed consent. So what they did is they took away Ms. Rivers' choice. She was under anesthesia, victim. She was, you know, victim of their will, basically. They decided to just do something without waking her up, without calling her daughter. That was completely just way inappropriate and, medically speaking, never done. And for the people who think that you shouldn't do this in an outpatient setting, that's not the question. That's not appropriate question to ask. It is appropriate to do it in an outpatient setting if you have the right tools. Anesthesia, you're able to intubate the person, put them under general anesthesia, and protect their airway so they can, the tube that gives them the anesthesia goes past the vocal cords so they can't spasm. If they do spasm, you've got the airway protected because you're able to deliver oxygen until it passes. None of this went on. The doctor wasn't even credentialed to work in the center. I mean, there's so many things that were screwed up about this. Only thing I really want to know is who the doctor was. I still want to know who that is. They fired the GI doctor, but we don't know who the ENT was. But just to go in and say, oh, let me just take this off the vocal cord, and just, I can't imagine he had the equipment to do it since it was a GI endoscopy center, not ENT, not general surgery center. It's just, I just like to say it's a 007 move and leave it at that. And justice needs to be done. That's all I can say on that situation. But now I got totally sidetracked, but I couldn't help it. I had to do that. Again, anything that goes on with you and your family, it's now time for you to take a step up and start paying attention to it and question everybody. Question everything. Well, worst thing they can do is not answer it. But they're accountable to you. That's what I think we also forget, too. These guys work for us. They are public servants. You voted them in, passively or actively. But they're supposedly at your beck and call and at your, they're supposed to do what you want them to do, not them. It's obvious, and it's been told to us over and over again, that the structure now doesn't work for American citizens, it works for the UN, right? So UN mandates are superseding Constitution. Whether we go to war, that seems to be driven by the UN. We have to go to the UN for basically everything that we do. This climate change mantra is a UN-driven mandate. Agenda 21, look it up, because you should realize that we're living under that right now. And the vaccine push and the evidence-based push and the movement towards socialized medicine under ICD-10, which we've talked about before on the show, is not just some made-up thing. This is a UN-driven, World Health Organization-driven system. We are just the last developed country to go under it. This is a bigger picture than what we're told. No wonder nobody in Congress read it. They didn't read it. They just signed off on it. All they thought was we were stupid enough that they could just shove it down our throat, we wouldn't read it, and we wouldn't care. And they lied to us to pass this. Now they're backtracking, like they didn't sign it, or they didn't know what was in it. Now they're all aghast. They knew. Oh, you know what? If they didn't know, then they should have known, and they should be removed from power, because that's the whole point of Congress, is to write a law, know what's in it, and know how it affects the general population, not have it brought forth by some sort of committee that was, and the members of the committee were part of the health insurance industry. One of the main drivers of this was an aide to Senator Baucus, who worked for the medical insurance industry. This is not something that just happened by accident. So when you're now paying more premiums and you're getting less service and your doctor now is handcuffed in order to treat you, this is by design. It's not happening by accident. And it's only going to get worse. Everything right now is in not everything, but the employer mandate is circling for a reason. They did not allow that to come into play because they want to get back in during this election cycle. Let me tell you, the ton of bricks are about to fall in December, January, after November 5th election, and they want you to be ignorant of that fact so you vote because of emotion. Either it's racism or domestic abuse or the NFL's a problem, all these things that have nothing to do with, does it put food on your table? Does it put clothes on your back? Does it allow you to pay your mortgage? That's what your focus should be on. Not things that don't affect you or that are actually manufactured. That's what they want. Just divide and conquer, distract, keep everything, all these balls juggling until November 5th, and then they stop juggling. And I have a prediction. I hope I'm wrong on this, but I haven't been so far. November 6th, it's on. Everything that they said that was never going to happen is now, oh, well, we were wrong, or, oh, well, we already said it, but you wouldn't, we said it, but we didn't say it. You know, they're going to say that you knew all along, but you just allowed it to happen. They're going to blame us for what's going on. That's what's going to happen. So start doing your due diligence on your candidates now. And again, I digress, but this is key because this is about the future of the healthcare system, your family autonomy, your child, and your own well-being. Things are happening in real time. Everything. Ebola being growing exponentially. The healthcare system being driven by the government and being driven by special interests who are going to make you get a vaccine. You know this is coming. There's an executive order, and I'm going to close the show with this. Executive order that was signed that says that the government will now be able to, if they have a suspicion that you have a respiratory communicable disease, they can pick you up and keep you indefinitely. Period. No questions asked because of its public health issue. I wonder how many people are going to be picked up who are agitators that they say has a respiratory issue, that it's a public enemy number one. That's how the system works. And ultimately, it's now time to stop being on the fence and being on the sidelines and get in the game. Forget the NFL, the NBA. That's nonsense. It's about personal responsibility right now. And on that note, I'm going to close the show, but I'd like people to know that I have a blog, drelanagorge.com. I have a Twitter, Medicine on Call, where I try to keep up to date and give people links so they can go and do their own research. And I'll be posting various appearances that I've had on Cavuto and Newsmax so that we can all be in this together. We're all in this fight together, and we need to make sure that we come well prepared. On that note, thank you so much for listening to Medicine on Call. Hopefully, Dr. Hooker will be here next week with me, and I hope you all have a safe and healthy week.